Take your Bible tonight and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Look at your neighbor and say, I am one of them. Can you do that tonight? Can you remind them that you're one of them? Those of you who are not here this morning, I preached a message called, I am one of them. So I'm at the 10 lepers, and one of them turned around and came back and gave glory to God and told three reasons why he did that. And I trust that that'll inspire you and encourage you for days to come. Tonight, I want to preach out of an unusual passage, an unusual message. Brother Earl, thank you for those kind words. Brother Earl also gives me rebuking words quite often. A few moments ago, he rebuked me right down here. And I accepted it, didn't I? And I'm going to fix it. I already am holding the mic in the right place. Amen. In fact, earlier this week, he's like, Brother Ben, you're like 20 to 40, 50 yards in your drive behind me. There's a problem here, you know? And he told me, he said, you know, you need to start lifting some, you need to start doing some things to get some power behind that ball, you know? And so I asked him, I said, Brother Earl, what do I do? He said, it's easy. You get it, take a bath, and you pull the plug, and then you fight against the current. And he told me his secret, so I'm going to go home and try it and fight against the current and see if I can't build some muscles and hit that ball better. But we sure enjoy our time here every time we come, and then we think of you. We pray for you often. We listen online. Brother Tony's got a golf tournament coming up, I think. And I hope you'll help with that and sponsor or play or do something, pray. And we love that, the kids going to camp and different things they're doing. And we pray you'll support that and help that. Talked to my pastor a few days ago, and he rebuked me for being the most unfaithful church member that he has and as an evangelist. And then he says, oh, by the way, tell Brother Tony I said hi while you're down there. And so there you go. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 20. Then began he, Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Father, would you use these words in our hearts and lives, no matter our age in life or our stage in life? I would kind of think, Lord, that the message would be geared to young couples and single adults and teenagers. But Lord, I think it could be applicable to all of us tonight. And I pray you'll use it in our hearts as such. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject of regrets. A feeling of sorrow or disappointment over something done or not done in the past, often wished that it had been done differently. Regrets. William Borden had three words in the front of his Bible. A missionary, a man that was could have been very wealthy, could have gotten his entire, I saw Borden's milk truck out here the other day. He could have had that whole inheritance. But he died a very, very young man on the mission field, serving the Lord. And one of those two of the words on that page in the front of his Bible was no regrets. To live a life, to be able to say, I don't have any regrets. Now, the truth is, I think all of us have probably a little few regrets in our lifetime. I look at these young people and think back to my story this morning about Jeff Johnson. And Jeff had taken a Spanish class in his Christian school, and he didn't know very much Spanish at all. He couldn't speak it. And we had another guy, Albert Lopez, that we used to work hanging drywall with us when we were in Bible college. And I used to ride with him every day to work. And I noticed how Jeff was working very diligent and hard to understand Albert and ask questions about the language to Albert. And Albert was learning English. And Jeff would go back to the room after we worked at UPS or hung drywall, and then we'd end up back at the dorm rooms, and he would go online and look at some things about Spanish and learn Spanish. And I watched Jeff begin to speak in Spanish. I watched before he graduated become a preacher in Spanish for that church. I watched him go down to North Carolina and start a Spanish ministry under Dr. Bobby Robertson, and had hundreds and thousands of people that came to church over the years and got saved and baptized, and many are preaching today under the ministry of the Lord using a man named Jeff Johnson. I look at that and thought, man, you sorry rascal. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you take the time to learn Spanish? All I did was, Brother Lindsay, I found an app online that's got the gospel on it, both in written form and video form. And if I meet somebody that I can't understand them and they can't understand me, but I know enough to know that they're speaking Spanish, I'll find that thing on my phone and I'll stick it and give it to them and have them read it or listen to the sermon. How much more effective would it be if I could share the gospel with them? So I guess that's a regret. I'm 60 years old. I guess I could take some lessons and figure it out. Might be a day late and a dollar short. But I'd like to talk to the young people in the room. I'd like to implore you and ask you and beg you, for the gospel's sake, for Christ's sake, if you can learn more than one language, you ought to do it. And you ought to learn the one you know real well. You won't regret that. You use it the rest of your life. Regrets. How many of you got something like I just described to you that you look back and think, man, I wish I would have done something differently there. Raise your hand. All right, let's line up. All of you come right over here. That'd be quite a service, wouldn't it? I'm sure we get back to the preacher real quick. What happened here? Regrets. I've been to these three cities. And I'm here to report to you, there's nothing there. There's no commerce. There's no businesses. There's no addresses where people live. My wife can tell you. It's vacated to this day. The place where Jesus did most of his miracles, nothing is there. Oh, there's a few buildings they have unearthed, but they don't even charge to go there. It's out in the open, and you can go day or night there and see Peter's house where his mother-in-law lived and he lived. And you can see the synagogue that they unearthed and tried to put back up for people, for visitors to come look at. And there may be another site or two around. The last time I was in Israel, we had a tour guide that loved to walk, and he took a bunch of guys that were in good shape, that were not diabetics like myself and could walk for several hours, a very treacherous trail. And they went between two of those three cities that I read about in the Bible. They hiked. It's a triangle. And in that area is where Jesus did most of his miracles. And when I read this passage, I'm like, wow. And I think about regret. Regret does not change the past, but it can steal the future if you let it. I think there's two things tonight when you think about the word regret that I think all of us who are spiritually minded would agree that there are two areas, big areas, that it probably would not be wise to one day wake up and regret these two things. Number one is gaining the whole world and losing your own soul. The Bible says, for what profit is a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. For man to get all you want to have and be all you want to be and do all you want to do, and then come to the end of life and not even be a Christian, not even be saved, and end up in eternity away from God forever and forever and forever. I can't imagine, Brother Earl, that could be much bigger and greater regret than a person doing just that. As I think about regret, I think about the second greatest regret is people who did get saved, but who did not consider how investing their life in eternal things could make a big difference for all eternity. To get saved and live selfishly, to get saved and not be mission-minded, to get saved and not be minded about soul winning and not be minded about eternal things, as the Bible calls it. I think one day, the Bible's very clear, we're going to stand before the Lord, and there's going to be a judgment on that day of what we've done in this body. I think it's going to be a day of regret for many. But I pray that it will not be anybody in this room. Amen? No regret. To live mission-mindedly. To have a heart that says, boy, I want my life to impact people here, near, and far. Amen? That's the Great Commission. Here, near, and far. My wife and I, the other month or so, we were in a restaurant one morning, breakfast together, and I think it was just us. And there was a lady that got in line behind me. I was paying for the meal. And I was waiting on them to cash register to do what they needed to do. And I turned around and said, good morning, how are you? She said, great. And I said, has anybody told you this morning that Jesus loves you? And all of a sudden, she starts crying. I'm like, man. And she said, sir, I'm from California. I flew into Lynchburg, Virginia to see my son who's in college here, and you're not going to believe this, I've only been here 12 hours. But in the 12 hours I've been here, I've had three people say almost the exact same words you just said. Amen. I said, I think God's trying to get your attention. I went out in the car and got a track and brought it back into her, man. I think that was a divine appointment. I don't know what God was doing in that lady's life. We talked a little bit more. But for three people in the same town in 12 hours to say the exact same words, has anybody told you that God loves you? That's pretty impressive. And God's working things like that out, eternal things that is amazing. Amen. Supernatural, divine is what the Bible calls it. To get involved in that. You heard it this morning, the event coming up on Saturday where you're going to have an opportunity to sharpen your skills, to give somebody the gospel. Don't miss that if you can help it. Amen. Don't miss that. I think it's going to be a great regret one day. People who get through life and they say, I wish I had done something different. But other people get through and they'll say, I'm glad I did. I'm thankful that I did make the right choices. And living for Jesus will get you to the point where you'll say, I'm glad I did. Amen? To live for Him, to let Him live through your life. And so this story here is about three cities I'm going to talk about one of them in Matthew chapter 11. As verse 20, the Lord criticizes these three cities that he performed most of his miracles in. He pronounces woe upon Chorazin. He pronounces woe upon Bethsaida. And talks about other cities that were destroyed, known for their wealth and commerce and idolatry. And then in verse number 22, again, he talks about a judgment day and being more bearable for a city called Tyre and Sidon than for Chorazin and Bethsaida. Then verse 23, he addresses the city called Capernaum, warning that despite its exalted status, it will be brought down to hell or Hades. If his miracles have been done in Sodom, that city would still exist to that day, he said. Well, think about these three cities. Think about this area where Jesus grew up in, where he performed most of his miracles. And I want to say just three things tonight about regrets. And I pray that you'll write them down and meditate on them and think about them. And let this sermon be a reminder to us to have no regrets. Number one, do not pass on God's grand opportunities. Wouldn't you like to live where Jesus lived in his time frame? Wouldn't you like to have been his neighbor? Wouldn't you like to have been in proximity to him? To live close to him? To have daily interactions with Jesus Christ? And yet there were people that did that and rejected his words, rejected his sermons. They wouldn't believe. Do you pass on God's grand opportunities that he gives to you? Because the truth is, we can still have that kind of relationship with the Lord. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. We still have the opportunity every day to get up and spend time with the Lord, and that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, to have that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we're gonna be sorry one day if we don't develop a strong relationship with the Lord. It's gonna take work. It's gonna take labor to do that. It's gonna take time to do that. Isban, Turkey, there's something called the Grand Bazaar. And merchants would go through the Grand Bazaar and buy and sell. It was a marketplace near the richest of hotels there. 61 streets filled with markets and roads. And half the shops were jewelry stores where they would make jewelries and send it around the world. And there was a mom and dad, a couple, that would go there, and their job was to clean these shops. And they would go and sweep the floors and take all the trash and all the debris that they would sweep up and put them in a dustpan, and then put the dustpan in particular trash bags. And that man would go home and take that trash bag, and he would sift through everything that he swept off the floor, and he would get every little kernel, every little bit, every little dust of gold that he could find. In fact, he got so much that grams turned into kilograms, and he got so much money that he built the largest mansion for him and his family in all of that Isban, Turkey area. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than gold. Amen. We sing songs about that. The gospel, the truth that we have, the truth that we received in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't pass on God's grand opportunities to be involved in the work of God, to be involved in the ministry, to be involved right where he has you, to use your voice. I said this morning, the greatest opportunity, the most wonderful thing in the world is not going to heaven. It's taking somebody with you. I'm glad I'm going, but I want to bring somebody with me. I want to tell others so they can come with me. do not pass on God's grand opportunities. Capernaum did. Well, they missed it all. Number two, do not overlook God's glorious demonstrations. Look at verse 21. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. You know this area called Sidon? That's where Jezebel came from. This area was a pagan city. And he likens Capernaum with this Sodom city, this Tyre city, this wicked city. And he said, it's been better for you to have not heard at all than you for to have heard and not received the message. To have heard over and over and over again, to sit after invitation and invitation and invitation and not respond and just resist and resist and resist and reject and reject and reject. It would have been better for you than it would have been that other city that didn't have the presence of the Lord there, that didn't have the preaching of the Lord there, that didn't have the ministry going on for them to view with their, see with their eyes and hear with their ears. That's what he's saying about these cities. You know, I'm trying to tell you that what we hear, the information that we have, is really, really important for us to understand that some of that needs to be acted upon. Amen? Done something with. In fact, let me say, there's four statements here along with this. Number one, I must act on what I know. Number two, I will be judged on the basis of what I know. Number three, I am privileged to know what I know. And number four, not everyone knows what I know. Let me say it backwards now for you to understand a little bit better. Let me say it backwards. Not everyone knows what I know. I am privileged to know what I know. I will be judged on the basis of what I know. Therefore, I must act on the basis of what I know. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But on the other hand, somebody else can hear and just reject it and resist it and close off their ears and pay no attention to it. And that's the message to these cities tonight. Every man on earth is given just one life. Every life on earth is but a vapor. It appears, then it's gone with a record of what's done. Then we stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ. We must all bow down at the judgment seat of Christ. We must give an account for the things we've done in our lives. I will live my life for Jesus Christ so that in eternity my life will be gold and silver and precious stones. We're going to give an account someday. And Jesus performed most of his miracles. Let me just give you a few. Number one, he healed the centurion servant in this area. Luke chapter 7. He fed 5,000 people in this area. He healed Peter's mother-in-law in this area, Capernaum. He healed the paralytic in this area. He cast out an unclean spirit from a man in the synagogue in this area. He healed the official son, the royal official who was at the point of death. It was in this area that soldier's, that lieutenant's son was healed. He's the one that built the synagogue in Capernaum. But when I think about this name, Capernaum, it is a significant town in the fact that its name, it's called the village of Nahum. It has nothing to do with Nahum in the Bible, as far as we know. But the name Nahum, there's a connection. It's the town of comfort. The town of comfort. The name Capernaum is traditionally thought of to the village of Nahum, thought to be a direct evidence of this name, this word comfort or consolation, reflecting in the welcoming nature and the comfort Jesus brought through his miracles and his teaching. And yet somehow through the generations that was all lost. Somehow in such a short period of time, even in the life of Jesus, he said, woe unto you. Man, you've been given truth after truth after truth and opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You know, it's kind of like knowing that you need to exercise. It's important. But knowing it and doing it is different, right? Some people have a special diet that they need to be on, but knowing it and practicing it is two different things. And that's kind of like what is here. You may get away with it today and tomorrow and a week or two, but somebody who does not take care of their diabetes over time, I'm telling you, after watching this all the many years that I've had type 1 diabetes, I'm telling you, people do lose their feet. They do lose their legs because of high blood pressure that is not under control. And I talk to them. And there's a measure of regret. I wished I had of paid more attention to it. I wished I had of. Would God I had. Regrets. That's what happens with regret. We live in denial. We act like, no, I'm an exception to the rule. It's not going to matter to me. And we live in a stage of a denial that it's even really happening. It can happen financially. It can happen with marriages. It can happen with when somebody trying to give you lovingly rebuke and trying to help you in an area. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? That's the passage tonight. Are you listening? Because there's some people that just don't listen. And regrets come. I read a story about 1983. I was born, graduated from high school in 1984. I vaguely remember this story, but it was a Soviet air defense officer that was on duty when the Soviet Union early warning system detected went off. Incoming missile strikes from the United States. The system reported that multiple missiles had been launched, suggesting the onset of a full-scale nuclear attack that the United States had done on the Soviet Union. Petrov's duty was to report such alerts to his supervisors, who could then order a retaliatory strike. However, Petrov suspected that the system's alarm might be a false alarm, given the insufficient data and the belief that the real United States' first attack would involve way more missiles than what was on the radar. In acting on his intuition and reasoning, he decided not to report the alarm and classified it a false alarm. Petrov's decision prevented a potentially retaliatory nuclear strike by the Soviet Union, which could have led to a full-scale nuclear war. Subsequently, investigations confirmed that the alert had indeed been a false alarm caused by a rare alignment of sunlight on high-altitude clouds and satellite orbits. Man, thank the Lord that guy had enough wisdom and sense to look at everything and not declare a war and in 1983, a nuclear war. He was paying attention to some other factors and other things. He was listening. Don't pass up on God's grand opportunities and don't overlook God's glorious demonstrations. Let me say the third thing. We do not want to ignore God's gracious warnings. It may be too late for Capernaum, but it's not too late for you. Amen. If you're still breathing, God's got grace for you, grace for today, grace for your next steps. And I beg you tonight, don't be like Capernaum. Listen to when the Holy Spirit speaks. Listen to when God's communicating with you. It's not too far, and it's not too many. We've got to listen. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Psalm 50 says, I called upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 55 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Oh, we ought to listen to the words of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's plan for the world goes far beyond your expectation dates. And we ought to realize that this is a warning that God is giving to us. I went to Ukraine, I think 8 times. Not recently. And it breaks my heart what's going on in Ukraine. But I'll never forget one night, we were going through Pripyat, Ukraine. It's where the nuclear reactor went off, the nuclear power plant went off in 1986. An explosion that took place. And the aftermath of that, 28 people died immediately. Thousands of people slowly died in terrible pain from radiation and damage to their bodies. Long-term health effects for a 10-city regional area. Anybody close to that area. And the man woke us up because we were going right by that city. And the sun was coming up, and it looked like a ghost town. Nobody moving. I mean, we didn't get out. We had to roll the windows up. We had to turn the air off to get through this area. But they told me that if you walked in the stores and the restaurants, you'd still see things just like they were left there that day. It's not been moved. And that's been years and years since that nuclear explosion. And you know what's sad about that? There were people that reported the unstableness of those reactors to their supervisors, and their supervisors just put it on the bottom shelf and decided not to do anything about it. Not just one, but many of the higher up people that were to protect the community and make sure that there was a protection of the people with this nuclear plant. They would get that information, and because it would cost too much, and because what they wanted to have and be and do was more important than having a safe nuclear reactor, they just covered it up. Year after year and decade later, this eruption happens. I think there's going to be some people that regret that, wouldn't you think, Brother Earl? And I want you to think bigger than just you. Life is bigger than just you and your circle. Because you've heard some things, you've seen some things, and you've got an opportunity to make an impact, to make an effect, and help somebody. Amen. We, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been given a command in the book of James to bear one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, and we'll help cover a multitude of sins because we admonish one another and we love one another and we tell the truth in love, and we don't just let things go that's wrong. We speak out and try to help. Amen. Regret can be a terrible thing. And I'm talking tonight to a church, 71 years now, a church that's been blessed beyond measure, a rich history of faithfulness and strong leadership, and a congregation that over the years have received the Word of God and taken it in and letting it come out through them and through their lifestyle and through their lips as they share the gospel and as they pick up people for church, and as they have addiction recovery programs and teen rallies and teen events and on and on and on, and couples events and couples conferences and truth being given out. And now it's been given to us. Now it's our turn, right? What are we going to do with it? 71 years, Dr. Barber. Having surgery tomorrow. Started this church, the ministry. You see, the ministry is not something you build. When you study the word ministry in the Bible, it's not something you build. It's something you receive. It's something you give. And it's something you fulfill through Christ. Amen? That's what he did here. I would ask you, because you get a little card of get well and we love you and we're praying for you. I'd love to see him get about 80 to 100 of those this week. You can bring them to the church. You can put them in the offering boxes back there. You can drop them off at the office. You can send them in the mail. But I'd love to see him just get an outpouring of the love of God. Amen. God's people. I'm thankful for Brother Weaver. He's one of my dear friends. And I haven't seen him today. He's probably preaching somewhere. But thankful for the history and the work of the ministry done here under Dr. Weaver. And now Pastor Gillett. I got to see him before he left town. And I just want to give you some quick takeaways and we're done. Because the ball's in our hand. The baton's in our hand. And we've heard some things. We've been given some things. We've been given some truth that's going to help our marriages. We've been given some truth that will help our Christian life. We've been given some truth that will help us help the brethren. What are we going to do with it? Thank God for Pastor Gillett. I want to encourage you tonight. Value your pastor's heart, not just his sermons. Amen. Value his heart. Don't take his love and leadership for granted. Encourage him and pray for him. It was a joy to pray this week in Brother Earl's house. And I was downstairs, and there's a little prayer journal thing he's got there, and it says, pray for Pastor Gillett, and some things underneath it. I think you probably all have that. Value your pastor's heart, not just his sermons. Respond to his warnings. Don't resist them. Amen? Respond to his warnings. Don't resist them. Be an active follower, not a passive critic. Be an active follower, not a passive critic. Be early, stay late. Protect him from unnecessary burdens. Amen. Here the book of James says it this way: grudge not one another. Amen. Protect him from unnecessary burdens. Don't let pettiness and gossip and division burden your pastor, distract the ministry leaders, hinder the focus of the ministry. He's called to care for the souls of the people in the room, not to play referee in every conflict. Be a peacemaker. A pastor is a gift from God. And evangelist is a gift from God. These assistant pastors are gifts from God. Love them. Listen to them. Labor alongside of them. You were created for community. You were formed for fellowship. Brethren, let's be brethren. Family, let's be family. Amen. And let's not be in the end days some place that says, yeah, there used to be a church right over there on Campus Drive. It's a bar now. It's a AT&T building now. Because there's places like that. And you wonder. Yeah, you just wonder, are there any regrets? And I'd like to see for the next, until Jesus comes back, Worth Baptist Church be able to have in the front of the Bible, no regrets. If that's going to happen, there's got to be some 50 and 60 and 70 year old people that decide tonight, with God's help, I don't want to have any regrets. There's got to be some 20 and 30 and 40 somethings that say, with God's help, no regrets. I'm going to take the baton. I'm going to get involved in ministry. I'm going to seek the Lord on what he wants me to do. And I think there's got to be some 16-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 19-year-olds who somehow write in the front of their Bible, no regrets. We've only been given a little space of time. And for whatever reason, God put this in the Word of God to remind us. To remind us, to whom much is given, much is required. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed. I pray the message has burdened someone and encouraged someone all in the same swoop tonight. I pray those of us, those of you who seek to do the will of God, I pray that you've been encouraged to continue on and press on. And I pray for others who could step it up to not have any regrets. I pray for others who are getting older and more weary and more tired. Somehow God will give them the grace to train the next generation, to pour into someone that can continue what they've been doing, so the work of God goes on and on. Father, thank you so much for the admonition tonight in the Word of God. Thank you for Worth Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Barber. Thank you for Pastor Weaver. Thank you for Pastor Gillett. And Lord, I'd love to take time to mention all the assistant pastors who have been here over the years. But it's all because of the grace of God. Would you help us to take heed? If we have ears to hear, let us hear. Help us not to be stiff-necked. Help us not to turn away from truth. Help us to embrace truth. Help us to share truth. Help us, Lord, to do thy will. As the instruments play tonight, God spoke to your heart, would you come? All to Jesus. That's what it's all about. He's here. He's here week after week, service after service, present. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. What are we doing with it?